most brilliant commander in the Soviet Navy.
Ramey has trained most of their officer corps. He's nearly a legend in the submarine community.
The most deadly submarine ever built.
This thing could park a couple of hundred warheads off Washington. Nobody'd know a thing about it until it was all over.
Once more, we play our dangerous game with our old adversaries, the American Navy.
His plan is a mystery.
A man with your responsibilities reading about the end of the world.
Apparently, he has suffered a kind of nervous breakdown in which he announced his intention to fire his missiles on the United States.
We want us to help you hunt him down, kill him.
Open the outer doors, firing point procedures.
We sail into history.
I'm going to blow him right to Mars.
Ramius might be trying to defect.
You're just an analyst. What can you possibly know what goes on in this mine?
I'll give you 3 days to prove your theory correct.
I am not field personnel. I am only an analyst.
You're perfect.
I'm expendable.
He's defecting.
You willing to bet your life on that?
From the best-selling novel by Tom Clancy. From the director of Die Hard.
Give this man a chance.
My orders are specific.
Battle stations.
Sean Connery, Alec Baldwin, James Earl Jones, Scott Glenn, Sam Neill. The Hunt for Red October.
Salut,
Privet, movie fans, and please indulge me as I attempt to do this introduction using a traditional Russian accent. It reminds me of the heady days of Sputnik and Yuri Gagarin, when the world trembled at the sound of our rockets. Now they will tremble again at the sound of our podcast. Today, listeners, we go back to 1990 to watch our second John McTiernan joint as we discuss a movie I just watched for the first time, The Hunt for Red October. And to stay on theme today, I'll be talking while I attempt to drink a can of Oktoberfest beer from Mighty Squirrel Brewery. Oh,
perfect.
But I won't be drinking alone. No, no. I have my usual comrades joining me to talk cinema this evening. First up is a man who is a podcaster, which means he's a cheat and a liar. And when he's not kissing babies, he's stealing their lollipops. Mr. David Corsetto, how tired are you and what are you drinking this fine evening?
Why? Well, first of all, you're going to say you're taking something up the ass originally. So why don't you just finish that sentence now?
This took a turn.
No idea what you're talking about, but welcome to ruining the show.
Crickets already. Crickets. Those are the earliest crickets Jesus. We've heard. Go ahead.
Do you have a writing team or do you come up with stuff on your own?
I'm just drinking just clear vodka. Nothing else in it. Just.
You mean Russian. You could have said Russian.
It is Russian vodka. It's Smirnoff, okay. Which is gross. But I'm drinking for that. Yes. Yeah, it's disgusting.
I don't even see his glass. But
yeah. He doesn't even have a glass. There's no glass with that man. Next up is a man who is nearly a legend in the submarine podcast. What the fuck?
Do you finish what you were saying? What were you going to put up your ass when you initially started that? What are you doing?
Again, what are you talking about?
You said, go back to the introduction. You started saying... Forget it. Go ahead.
Yes, there's absolutely none of that was said, but your face looks good. Next up is a man who is nearly a legend in the submarine podcasting community. He's been a maverick his entire career, and he's again joining us as Mr. Christopher Mars. How are you, and what are you drinking? And let's see if you could actually answer the question.
Doing well, Michael. I am drinking What?
Fucking asshole. He even ruined that.
I am drinking a white Russian.
Thank you.
Made with.
You had your chance.
Eggnog. A white Russian eggnog.
Russian eggnog. I've got Oktoberfest. I'm showing mine to the camera.
Not Mikey.
David, show yours to the camera. Show your drink.
No, I'm not going to show you mine.
Yeah, that's right.
That was a good move, Mikey, because Dave and I are such one-way performers that we rarely ask you. So that was a good move coming in.
Yeah, I realize I have to force it in there.
I'm so jealous. On my cheat day, I'm going to drink that this week, Chris.
On your cheat day? Oh, my God. I thought you got out of the clan. Oh, cheat day. I'm sorry.
That's his way to brag that he eats healthy every other day.
Yeah, on my cheat day, you know, when I'm not, it's not arm day, it's not leg day, chest day.
Mike, you're wearing an upside down cross because you're a fucking lunatic.
That's right, I am. I'm the devil.
Let's get excited, Mikey. Kick this off. Come on.
Oh, tell my us what goodness we're here gracious! For. Yes, we're here for The Hunt for Red October, a movie that just reminds me of working at a video store at that time. Around that time, it was like such a huge like movie in the rental world. I don't remember. Obviously, it did big at the box office. I want to give you a few statistics. Of course, this is from 1990. Screenplay by Larry Ferguson, Donald E. Stewart, and David Schaber as uncredited. Based on the novel by Tom Clancy. This was Clancy's first novel and I believe his first movie based on one of his books. And it was directed by John McTiernan, who had just a three movies in a row.
Murderer's Row, yeah.
Like 80s, 80s, 80s. I mean, he went directed Predator, Die Hard, and then this. Definitely Murder's Row, starring Sean Connery, Alec Baldwin in his one and only time as Jack Ryan, Scott Glenn, Sam Neill, who I was like, hey, he was in something before
Jurassic Park. This is incredible.
And there's a bunch of other people. James Earl Jones is next listed in the cast, but we got Stellan Skarsgård in there. And there were two women. There was his wife who like said one word and a flight attendant who said maybe two things.
She was hot too.
David Hot Alert. Repeat. This is a David Hot Alert. This is not a test.
Nailed it.
Nice. I'm glad we can get that in there.
Yes. This was a very hard one to do.
Although Jack Ryan's pretty hot.
Oh my God. That turtleneck sweater. I want it. It looks so warm and cozy. And his jet black hair.
The question is, why did he only do this one movie?
My guess is the producers didn't think he was a star enough. They wanted.
There's probably an answer for that. I don't
know if he didn't want to do it or they didn't want him.
I'm sorry. Finish, Mikey.
I was just saying it's got an 88% score, both critic and audience. 88% Rotten Tomatoes as a cinema score of A, and a budget of only $30 million, which probably was a big deal then. But on a $30 million budget. It had $122 million in the U.S. and a total of $200 million worldwide. So it was a big hit. It was up for three Academy Awards, Best Sound and Best Film Editing. Lost both of those to Dances with Wolves, but it did win Best Sound Editing. It was not up for Best Picture, but 1990 has a lot, like every movie in there is memorable. Maybe some for better or worse.
Goodfellas. Yeah, some for worse.
Dances with Wolves, Ghost, Awakenings, Goodfellas, and David's favorite, Godfather Part 3.
It should have won over, obviously, Godfather Part 3.
It wasn't even nominated for Best Picture. It wasn't. I just wanted to show like those were the best picture.
Oh, okay. You scared me. But it should have been. It's a better movie than Awakenings. So I'm surprised with it. Yep.
Godfather Part 3 was not nominated for Best Picture, was it?
It was nominated.
Oh, it was. I thought you said
1990, Goodfellas and Godfather Part 3.
That was terrible.
Yeah.
It was almost like on Reputation, probably.
Definitely. So I'm surprised that you never watched it, Mikey. I'm surprised it being a Flix video staple.
Yeah. I don't know
you seeing it so often. I mean, you're seeing it, you know, the.
And I was like, that's VHS. James Bond. That's Indiana Jones.
What's
dad.
So great? What's Mike was amazing?
Granny porn back then. Like he was addicted to granny porn. All he watched 24/7 was old lady porn. For some reason, that's just what he was into at that point of his life.
You didn't see
him into his parents' sex. Really.
You didn't see Granny's Fanny 5? That was my favorite one. It completed it made part one and part four make sense.
Gilf porn. There was a whole section in Flix Video. The great thing about this is you mentioned John McTiernan in, you know, those action movies, Predator and Die Hard. This is it's an action movie, but
it's an action movie
subtle.
In the last
so
10
much,
minutes.
It's right. It's mostly dialogue. It's just such a unique plot, the politics, the submarine stuff. So like I told you guys, it was a favorite in the Morris household. Greg will be so happy because he kept recommending this, and I hadn't seen it in such a long time, and I was like, I love this movie, but you know, it really is a comfort movie. I watched it, I was like, oh my god, it's so smart and entertaining, and
yes,
it's just every scene, like it's amazing how much it fits into the movie. You know what I mean? There's no fat.
Did you read the book first, or did you watch the movie first?
I did read the book, not first. I didn't read the book first. I ended up going on a like Tom Clancy kick, and it's funny. I don't know if you read Tom Clancy books, but they're an investment. You know what I mean? Like the beginnings of them. There's so much, you know, just procedure and description of things. It's a little tough to. Yes, it's a little tough to get into, but it's they're all so great. But this. Baldwin as this Jack Ryan is perfect because it's like it's so much more the character in the book than anybody else who plays him, in my opinion.
Who I mean, right? Harrison played him, right?
He did, but you know, and he
did okay.
He was in the Patriot games, right? He did okay. He really just kind of did the Harrison. He did,
yeah, Patriot game and what, Clear and Present Danger, like
yes,
yeah. The way I see him here, he's a little more sarcastic, a little more aloof, or not like aloof, but he has a little.
Less
like,
of an action guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love how he, you know, just the way the whole plot, how they make him, you know, the politician makes him go on the Dallas, and oh, they make him go, he makes him go convince the admirals of what's going on, and it just, you know, it's your reputation, it's your, you know, just because he's a CIA analyst and he has to do all these things, and it's just so many great little scenes in the plot. The Red October stuff is fantastic, just the beginning shot, the Russian music, the Russian score, the view of the opening scene, it's awesome.
Like the segue when they zoom in, I'm like, why are they zooming in on this Russian guy? And then they come out and they're speaking English. I go, okay. Like, I just like that little thing where it's, you know, they're speaking Russian, but we're going
to listen
to it in English.
Все иду как тац, блажен, бодрствующий и хранящий одежду свою. И он собрал их на место, называемое по-еврейски Армагеддон. And the seventh angel poured forth his bowl into the air, and a voice cried out from heaven, saying, it is done. A man with your responsibilities reading about the end of the world. And what's this? I am become death, the destroyer of worlds.
It is an ancient Hindu text quoted by an American.
American?
He invented the atomic bomb, and he was later accused of being a communist.
Were you put off by Sean Connery's accent, or you... okay with
it? No, would anybody be put off by it?
No, he wasn't Russian. He's Lithuanian. That's a Lithuanian.
He is Lithuanian. I loved the. Besides, you know, the cast. It was so deep with the, you know, Fred Thomas, James Earl Jones, all these politicians. The guy who's the
Jeffrey Jones.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Jones. Yeah. We won't go into his personal life. Speaking of Gilf porn. Yeah.
He was just so many that, like he didn't he
what's that
he was your idol for a long time too.
Yes, really? He was my idol, David. Yes.
You had posters in your room.
Who else?
It was a Howard the Duck poster.
Courtney B.
It,
Vance.
It wasn't. Yeah, Courtney he was B. great Vance
with that sub stuff. And Scott Glenn. He was really
Scott Glenn was fantastic in this.
He was fantastic.
Who was he better in, this or
Silence of the Lambs?
Silence of the Lambs.
Oh my God, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, same year.
What are you doing this?
Same year. I mean, no, the next year, right?
Yeah. He was great in this.
Yeah, he was great. I just love the, you know, how he was. It just, it didn't make the Russian staff was great. The officers were all great, except for
Russian Tim Curry.
Russian Tim Curry.
Hello, Governor. I'm Russian.
Yeah, his character was a little annoying.
I do
annoying,
love
but,
Tim
you know,
Curry, though, but
I figured you
hear
might.
His voice, all you hear is Tim Curry, no matter what. It's like...
Yeah, and I love... I mean, the end is great, obviously. Just the... I'll get into the plot.
Yeah, I love the... Is it subterfuge? Is that like the kind of...
Yeah.
like the things they have to do. They have to trick. To trick everybody, to trick the crew, to trick like the
Russians.
That's
one of my favorite parts, that he has to trick the crew.
And when the crew's cheering him on, like
the captain scaring them. They scared them to the yeah, exactly, because they had to the ship, they had to surface to avoid that ship that diverts the torpedo and has to go up, and that's when the crew is like, the captain's scared out. That's great. When they first show the Caterpillar technology, which was not real, I guess the CIA called, the movie makers, and they're like, why did the Russians have this,
funny.
Like this technology? And they're like, it's not real. You know what I mean? It's like, but when they first show that,
that's reassuring.
And the Russians are all singing, they're singing. My friend Brian compared it to the Battle of the Bulge, which I had never seen, where the Germans are all singing in a similar scene. But that the Russian stuff really makes it all so great.
It's 1992, so it's like the time for Russia and the Soviet Union.
Oh, yeah.
You're basically having sympathetic.
Well, it takes place Russian in 86.
I think
the beginning takes place in 86, right? So it's, they don't know if, obviously it's a threat. This guy is, they think he's a madman. I love how they're like the smoking in the submarines. I mean, how horrific would it be to get in and like just get blown up in a sub, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, they're shooting pretty haphazardly at the end.
Well, I'll go through the plot real quick.
Yes.
Right. And then we'll break down some scenes and your favorite scenes and whatnot, your favorite characters. So I guess it's 1984. Soviet sub-captain Marco Ramius is given command of the Red October, ballistic missile submarine with a Caterpillar drive, making it undetectable to sonar. He leaves Russian port to conduct exercises with Alpha-class attack sub Konovalov, commanded by his former student, Captain Tupolev.
That's Stellan Skarsgård, right?
Skarsgård, yes. So great. At sea, kills political officer assigned to the ship, makes it look like an accident. He relays false orders to say they're conducting drills off America's East Coast. So American sub USS Dallas is tracking the Red October, but loses it due to its Caterpillar drive. That's the great scene I was talking about. CIA analyst Jack Ryan, based in London, returns to Washington, meets with James Greer, deputy director of the CIA. And he briefs the officials on the threat of the Red October. They find out the Soviet Navy is deployed to sink the sub, so assume Ramius plans a nuclear strike. He's a madman. Ryan doesn't buy it. Thinks the Lithuanian-born commander decided to defect since his wife died a year earlier. I love that scene where he's like, son of a bitch.
Today's the 23rd, isn't it?
What?
Today is the 23rd, isn't it?
Yeah.
You wish to add something to our discussion, Dr. Ryan?
Well, sir, I was just thinking that perhaps there's another possibility we might consider. Ramius might be trying to defect.
Right.
You know, he yells, and they're like,
kind of figured it out.
Yeah. Son of a bitch. Great. So the NSA gives Ryan 3 days to prove his theory, or they will sink the sub. Tupolev also gets orders to sink the sub. So an unknown saboteur breaks the Red October's Caterpillar function in sonar tech on the Dallas, uses acoustic software to track the sub. As they plan to intercept, Ryan is taken to the Dallas, where he tries to convince its captain of his theory. The Soviet ambassador tells the U.S. government Ramius is a loose cannon and asks for help in sinking the Red October. That info is relayed to the Dallas. Ryan convinces Captain Mancuso to contact Ramius to find out his motive. So this part's great too. When he convinces him and he says, "Open the catapult," open the torpedo doors. Yep. And he sends the ping. awesome. Especially, I think maybe my favorite part. Rami is just shocked to discover the real plan when they send the message, and he falls back. He's like shocked. He's just shocked they discovered his real plan and accepts their help. Helps them. He then stages a fake emergency, so the crew abandon ship. Rami submerges again, and it appears Dallas is headed towards them. Ryan and the captain use a rescue sub to board the ship, and Rami asks for asylum for him and his officers.
I present you the ballistic missile submarine Red October. My officers and I request asylum in the United States of America.
It's a pleasure, sir. Bart Mancuso, USS Dallas.
I love the guy who drove the miniature sub when he says, I think that was a torpedo, I heard. Get the hell out of here. He goes, get the hell out of here. All right, so Red October is attacked by the Konovalov, and the cook of the Red October is shown to be the saboteur.
Which you knew for the first fucking scene, right?
See, they kept showing that other guy, like the guy who was fixing stuff.
Oh, yeah, the guy in the different uniform.
But he did talk to the cook. Yeah.
Opens fire and fatally wounds the first officer. I'm sorry.
The cook witnessed the key being removed from the dead guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they kept them going back to him with an ominous look. So, like, that's
right. I mean, you kind of didn't even think of it, but it was like, so let's see. He opens fire, fatally wounds first officer Borodin.
Poor bastard.
He wanted to see Montana.
I would like to have seen Montana.
Oh, he wanted to marry a round American woman.
He would have got canceled now. he gets chased by Ramius and Ryan, who end up fatally shooting him. By the way, while Ryan was shooting him, I'm like, Jesus, this is bringing Rust to... flashbacks.
Oh, God.
The new movie.
When when he was crawling at one point, like crawling with the gun, and he did a little Sean Connery, like he was like mocking.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he's crawling through at one point, like your face on, very much like McClane in the drains, storm drains.
It was great. So it shows he gets his hands dirty. Oh, yeah, they had mentioned also he was, you know, he was a Marine, right?
That's true, yep. Yeah, that's when Fred Thomas gave him credit to that. You know, the other guy wanted to write him off.
That other asshole.
You think he's crazy?
Certifiable. And no matter what his credentials, I don't care for him wearing the uniform.
You see that ring on his finger? The Academy, class of 72, a Marine.
You're kidding. How did you...
Greer told me. Summer of his third year, he went down in a chopper accident in the Med. Bad. Pilot, crew killed. That kid spent 10 months in traction, another year learning to walk again. Did his fourth year from the hospital. That's up to you, Charlie, but you might consider cutting the kid a little slack.
Ryan ends up fatally shooting the cook. After some maneuvers and help of the Dallas, this part's great too. You know, torpedo destroys the Konovalov. You arrogant ass, you killed us. What a great line that poor SOV says right before he blows up, which the crew of the Red October believes was Ramius's sacrifice.
Everything kind
themselves.
Of
they're all
the
sad.
Pieces fell into place.
It all fell together. Yep. Ryan and Ramius navigate the Red October to Maine, and Ramius admits he defected because he believes the sub was going to execute a nuclear strike against the U.S. and wouldn't support such action.
There is one question you haven't asked me yet. Why?
Well, I figured you would tell me when you were ready.
Now, there are those who believe we should attack the United States first, settle everything in one moment. Red October was built for that purpose.
When the dust settles from this, there's going to be hell to pay in Moscow.
Perhaps. Maybe some good will come from it. Little revolution now and then is a healthy thing, don't you think?
The Soviet ambassador tells the U.S. they can't locate the other sub, and Ryan is finally able to get some sleep aboard a plane with his daughter's teddy bear. So,
The one part I loved when the, I think it's the American torpedoes coming in, they drop from the helicopter, and right like at the last second, James Earl Jones presses the button.
Oh yes, this thing. I didn't recap that. That's exactly right. That
I was like, oh,
that was to clean it up.
500 yards. 400 yards. 300 yards. The torpedo is detonated.
No. You understand, Commander? That torpedo did not self-destruct. You heard it hit the hull, and I was never here.
I mean, the hunt for Red October was, I mean, the actual hunt, we had Russians wanted to kill them because they're defecting. Americans wanted to kill them because they think they're Russians attacking. Americans wanting to save them. It was just a lot
just
going on.
Just such a very unique plot, though, right?
Yeah.
Just to convince them that he wasn't, he was just defecting, you know what I mean, for asylum. That's the bottom line. And well, I love when Ramius. Yep.
Real quick, make a point. Mikey's never watched any of our good movies. You guys shit on me about watching movies.
What's he talking about?
He never watches good movies.
What are you
talking
about?
I shit
about?
On you all the time.
Can you get closer? Like, I know you're on your phone, but can you get closer? I get shit on all the time. Yeah, by Christopher. What are you talking about?
I'm not shitting on him. I'm just saying.
First, hold on. Wait. You
no, not literally.
By weird people. In alleys too, so don't.
Okay, but what is your point? Crickets. I know we're trying to podcast, Dave. You win. You've won the podcast. Like, what are you saying? I like watching movies for reasons. So, like, the fact that I didn't watch this before, it made me enjoy it more.
How do you go from like 1990 to present time not seeing this movie?
How many movies last year you said I hadn't seen? You haven't seen.
I would argue there were there's. Much worse cases of
would a 14-year-old me
that he should have seen.
I don't think 14-year-old, 13-year-old me would have thought I gotta go watch this movie. So it just it just never got to it.
Yeah, I'm
but
not,
you watch Marty McFly.
It's not that outrageous.
Every day, the month of whatever it is.
Yeah, I do, and
that's
I saw both the Harrison Ford Jack Ryan. So you know, maybe I was just a little more mature then. I didn't know this was a personal attack of me and.
Tell me, Sarah, that's how I can talk about this movie too.
You're going to talk about the movie?
Yeah, I actually appreciate the movie.
Congratulations,
Dave. When did you first see this? Because I don't think we mentioned that. I didn't see it in the movie.
Oh, Dave went to the premiere. He went to the Hollywood premiere. I don't know if he told
Dave was
you.
In the movie.
Yeah.
No, I think the first time I think I seen this movie.
Yeah, tell me the first time you've seen it.
I think he was the way he's dressed right now. He was Jack Ryan's body double when he couldn't fit up on they were very narrow and slim.
The overhead compartment on the plane.
Smut.
Oh,
when he was going after the cook, there was only like 3.5 feet.
Yeah, it was so perfect.
First time at Robin's house. To be honest,
really?
Well, yeah. That means years.
I actually think I read the book first. To be honest.
To be honest?
Yeah. So fuck off, Mike.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I don't believe 15-year-old you read
He does lie a lot.
Read this book.
Robin's
We have caught him.
Yes. So were you
I was 25 when I moved in there. 21 or 22. I was reading a lot of books before that, Mikey. I'm sorry that you just read comics.
So what took you so long? The movie came out in 1990. You were 16 in 1990.
I don't know.
Why did it take you 10 years to see this movie? Why did it take you 10 years to see this movie?
Why did it take you how many years the fuck is in this movie, dumbass?
I'm not the one who's worried about the timing. You are. So you are the dickhead. You are the dickhead. You're the official show dickhead. I wish you would defect somewhere else.
He's defective.
You're a defect. Oh, I hate you. Did you freeze? No, what? That's just your face. It's just the facelift.
You're red because you're a fucking red.
No, it's just the facelift. It's the Botox. It makes you look frozen.
We should be in a better mood, gentlemen. I just want to say. Did I tell you guys my Christmas? I am, as my friend Mike pointed out, I'm a Christmas libertarian because we always start on November 1st. Boom. We're into all the music, and I kind of ease in. I don't go full just Christmas music November 1st, right? But we're watching Christmas movies and all that. But there are people who complain about it.
Right.
You know, other people listening to Christmas music and watching Christmas movies. And I was telling, a group of other people and Mike, and I seem to rant the same topic to different groups of people.
It's happening.
My point was that, I could see if it's affecting you. If you go to a store and you have to listen to Christmas music and you're not ready for that, or, if you're listening to the radio for some reason, and you hear Christmas music, it's affecting you. But if you care about what other people do in their own home, then you can fuck right off. And exactly. That's a quote from Jesus said that, I think.
He did. He said it at the second that's why Last Supper.
I'm pretty sure like, you said that before. No, listen, I think that...
I haven't said it on a pod.
I think if, first of all, time flies by now, right? As old as you get.
It does.
I want to take as much Christmas in as you can, so... Signing it in November is fine. I'm decorating
Guess
my
what? System. Next year it's happening again. So don't be like, people are like, oh my God, it's happening. Yeah, it happens this way every year. It's been this way for a while now.
When people are surprised, it's like, it's getting earlier. It's not really. It's getting earlier, but
good.
But yeah.
Look
I can't,
at
I'm already right. Nine.
And the imagery on this movie is ridiculous. Seeing these subs.
Yeah, I got us off track.
It's fucking impressive. Honestly, I'd be so scared being in the ocean, seeing one of these things fucking pop up over you. Oh my God!
They
scary.
Certainly do. It was incredible. They certainly don't make movies. They wouldn't make this movie today either, right? Like just the plot. It wasn't enough action, and there's no. There are no superheroes.
But it's definitely tense. It's a lot of tense.
Oh, yeah.
Movie.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be violence for it to be tense.
And
right.
I don't remember if it's this movie or not, but I remember. Back around that time, it had to be because it was a submarine movie showing how they did some of the shots where it was very much like Star Wars where the camera goes by the sub, but they used dark, like black background and smoke to make it kind of look like water. I just wanted to say that because I love special effects. I like to see some of the green screen kind of stuff looked a little dated.
It was a little dated.
You just go with it because that's the time.
The sound was great. Yeah, it's
that
just so where would you rank this in submarine movies?
Well, I've never seen Das Boot, which is I think supposed to be the best.
I haven't
sub-movie.
Either, but yeah.
Dave, have you seen Das Boot?
No, just because when you were talking about like imagery and sound effects and like green screen, all I kept on thinking about was you filming your pair.
God. We don't have to include him. Yes, we could have like any. I could like see if we can get an AI David that's at least artificially intelligent instead of just not.
When you're talking about
you might be onto something.
Hey, I just replace him with AI David, Dave.
That would be great.
No, listen, AI. There's one scene in this movie that I thought visually was so over the top ridiculous. When Jack Ryan was going after the cook and the entire scene was red and it was
awesome.
Yeah.
To go on forever. Right.
And how huge the missiles were.
Yeah. It was like, holy shit, that is fucking impressive.
That was a great
scene.
Yeah. This would be my top submarine movie. You 571. Did you ever see that?
I never saw that one.
Damn good.
It was decent.
That was good. That was good. Yeah.
Down Periscope with Kelsey Grammer. Anyone know? Arnold? No.
That's pretty low. That's pretty low. All movies.
I think we've gone through all my submarine knowledge of film.
I'm not. We're missing something. Definitely, for sure. But
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Does that count?
It kind of does. It probably does, right? But
that was the first one.
Thank you, Greg, for bringing this to the table. He, suggested this, and I was kind of like, maybe. And then
I'm glad I finally
I'm glad rewatched.
And I'm
Dave, you should be excited that your friend finally got to enjoy this movie for the first time.
Come on. Connery. The best movie? I think Connery. I loved Alec Baldwin, but I think Connery was.
Who's the best actor or character?
Character.
It really probably was Ramius.
When he leans back and he's talking about fishing or something, like, it's just those little things where he just wants to. I just fell for him. He wants to be one of us. He wants to be American.
He commits the only murder. Pretty cold blooded, right?
I actually went, like, whoa. I said,
You know what that guy's name was? That character he killed?
I do. Yeah.
Putin.
It is Putin. That's right. Yeah.
Fucking crazy.
Crazy. That was in the book and the movie.
There's been an accident.
Yeah. Great.
Top scene for you, Chris, before we close this.
Top scene, I really think, is when Ryan and Mancuso board the Red October, and just the little face off, and then how Ramius is telling Ryan, you know, Ryan is at the whatever position, and then Mancuso's like, don't listen to him, Ryan, and they all see the genius of Ramius. We get to see his maneuvering.
So calm.
He turns into the path of the torpedo.
Torpedo impact, 20 seconds.
What books?
Pardon me?
What books did you write?
I wrote a biography of Admiral Halsey called The Fighting Sailor, about naval combat tactics.
I know this book.
Torpedo impact.
Your conclusions were all wrong, Ryan.
10 seconds.
Halsey acted stupidly.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, torpedo impact.
Now. I'll be damned.
What happened?
Combat tactics, Mr. Ryan. By turning into the torpedo, the captain closed the distance before it could arm itself.
So that's it?
Not quite. Right now, Captain Tupolev is removing the safety features on all his weapons. He won't make the same mistake twice.
Doesn't give it a chance to arm itself.
And he starts asking him about his books. So what kind of books do you write?
Yes. Yeah. So matter of fact, he's like, oh, yeah. He's like, I wrote a book about Halsey. And he's like, oh, yeah, that was all wrong. Halsey was all wrong. It was a famous battle that Halsey did fuck up.
I like the ending.
What about you, Dave?
I like the ending scene when they're talking about, you know, why he actually decided to do this. Like, they're just the two of them up top.
That was great.
That was a good scene.
I thought the hair should have blown more. I don't know. I just felt like it wasn't windy enough.
That did seem a little right. That was that. And I told you, I love the scene when Ryan has to. When Ryan convinces. What's his name?
I never remember.
The captain of the other ship.
And I'm sorry. And then he tells him, he convinces Mancuso.
Okay. Send him this.
You out of your mind?
Just send it.
Tell me one thing. You know he was going to go to starboard.
I didn't. I had a 50-50 chance and I needed a break. Sorry.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Ryan. My Morse is so rusty, I may be sending dimensions on Playmate of the Month.
He bluffed. Ryan bluffed. So, yeah, that was great stuff, too. Just seeing Connery, like, just floored by the message he just got. He's like, holy shit, this is really working. You know what I mean? Like, his plan to defect is actually working. Great movie.
It's Christmas time, and there's no need to be afraid. At Christmas time, we let in light and we banish shade. And in
Fame listener, by the time you're listening to this, you're probably enjoying some turkey or about to enjoy some turkey. But right around the corner, it's December. It's Christmas time. And that means we're going back into the Christmas movie season. And, you know, Dave was yelling at me for not seeing, you know, great movies, movies that are, you know, maybe all-time great thrillers. Well, the same can be said for David, who's never seen the movie we're going to be doing next time from 2017.
Special guest.
We're skipping the original. He's going to have to watch the original on his own. We are watching. Yes, we really are watching Daddy's Home.
You don't need to watch the original. That's right.
David's never seen it, and I actually
he's going to be so angry.
I support this choice because it is
an
enjoyable.
He's going to be so angry because we have so many other Christmas movies that we still need to do. You know, 8-Bit Christmas is an instant classic too. Like I mentioned,
we'll have to do that someday.
Miracle on 34th.
Yeah.
But, yep.
We should make him do Santa Claus versus the Martians. That should be the next one.
Oof.
It's classic. Classic.
I can't wait to talk about the crew.
Yes. So in the meantime, you know, you can find us on Twitter at @fine_movies, on Instagram at @finemovies, fine spirits, Threads too. We have one of those. Of course, if we're on Apple, go on there and write a review. Don't talk about my parents' lovemaking. That's Dave's thing. You could just write a review on our podcast. If you're on Spotify, hit that star. Give us a star rating. The more people that do that, the more people find us. We need more people listening than Chris's friends. You guys are all great, but you need to bring more people in if you can. Speaking of Chris, are there any final words from you, comrade?
Just excited to get the Christmas season going.
Yes.
I mean, continue to go.
Continue, right. David, any parting words from your stupid face?
I'm going to decorate my house for Christmas this weekend. You guys want to come help?
I don't.
Fuck yeah.
But David did, he called me yesterday. And he was telling me, you know, he's telling me about his workout. He was telling me about Josh Groban. And then he goes, you just got to believe Groban in the spirit of Christmas. He said that completely without any like sarcasm. He just said it to me. I have to believe in the spirit of Christmas. And I have to tell you, it was actually heartwarming. I was like, did I just hear that? I did.
I was about to get on his side too. Cause
it's true. You have to get
I'm on board.
It.
He's in, we're
I'm
all in
board.
And we'll be doing it next time.
Peace out.
David, say goodbye, David.
Bye guys.
Yeah, close enough.
We talk about great movies while drinking. We talk about great movies while drinking. Yeah, we talk about great movies while drinking. And we feel fine.
Okay, we ready? I gotta get into character. Gotta get into character. Henry Jones Jr.
Shut the fuck up.
Well, you shut up. Don't ruin this for me, asshole.
Fans not experts.